Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
What is up, To The Point listeners? It is your boy, Chris Yano, the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast, and it is just me, myself, and I. You remember that song ish? Me, myself, and I. And I've got a banger of an episode coming up because my man, my boy from the West Coast is in the studio live and in person. I'm staring at him in the face right now, Mr. Ishmael Valdez, who is the owner of Next Gen Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing out of California. What up, what up, what up, what up, what up?
You got the fucking jam today, let's go.
But that's not it. That's not all you're involved in. He also is owner of this little company that's starting to really blossom into something special. I've seen it in action. I've seen it grow, and it's called DataCube.
Yeah, buddy.
What the? I don't know. I thought that was either going to fucking bomb or going to be okay. I was like, whatever, but let's give it a shot. Hey, dude, welcome back. I'm happy to have you here in studio. We've tried to make this happen a few different times.
Dude,
it's been so incredible. We were just talking pre-podcast. It's so incredible just to kind of watch your journey. Over the last few years, become friends with you, kind of understanding who you are, the heart of Ishmael Valdez, and then watching what you're doing. And and respect, man, like respect to what you're building, growing. And you know, what's cool about you and I is that I feel like I'm always super real with you. And I'm always like, dude, let me see the heart. I want to see the heart of Ishmael Valdez, because that fucking thing, you might hear one thing. He's tough. He drops F bombs way more than me, but this dude's got a monster heart. And I love to see the drive that you have. So when you use both of those two things in tandem, you've been crushing it. So I can't wait to get into some of that story, and I don't want to ruin it. But hey, man, if it is January, but it is a new year. We got new goals.
Deuce.
New goals to crush all this cool stuff. It's fun time at the beginning of the year because you have all this runway ahead of you and all these things that you want to accomplish. Me too. I always love this time of year because I'm just now starting to get after it and chip away at my goals. But you know what's cool? What's coming up? Do you know what's coming up next month?
Dude.
Do you know what's coming up next month? This little badass conference, this little service summit with a bunch of us HVAC, plumbing, electricians, even a few garage door guys called Rhino X.
Bro, I'm about to.
You got a what?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I'm about to give you the best compliment in the world. Ready?
I'm ready. I'm listening.
Pantheon, hands down, one of the best fucking events of the whole year for the industry. Rhino X right next to it.
Oh my gosh.
All
I appreciate
fucking
that,
day long.
Thank you so much, man. That means a ton to me. I appreciate that. You got to go to the very first one, man, last year.
Insane.
Actually, it was a smaller. It's a little bit smaller.
Insane.
I appreciate you, dude. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Since we're on the topic, I appreciate you saying that. It means a lot to me because I respect your opinion. Dude, what was your experience at X last year?
Bro, just like, if you're in the industry, right? Plumbing, heating, air conditioning, all that, just the home service. Imagine you have, let me put in perspective. Imagine you have a LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, imagine you have five guys in one room talking basketball, right? That's what it was.
I appreciate
like,
that.
Like, that was the fucking, like, I was, the whole time I was standing up because, my respects to those dudes, right? So Leland's up there, Kenny's up there, Ken Goodridge is up there. Those guys are just up there. And for a minute, it was like, it was kind of surreal to me because I love the industry. I've told you many times, I'm a student of the industry. Yeah. I will always be. And for me to be in the same room with those dudes, knowing like how hard I grinded just to be able to be in that same room.
Word, yeah.
For me, it was epic, bro. So, So, dude, mad props to you.
Dude,
I can't wait for this year's, man.
And you got to stand up and share, like, share a little bit of that ish story,
yes,
too.
Sir.
So, it's cool, man. Like, I was grateful that you were able to attend and even speak and kind of share from your perspective, which absolutely, I think, is needed. I think everyone needs to hear. Everybody has their own perspective.
Yes, sir.
But then, sir, we pay respects to those legends of the industry that have kind of paved the way, too. I think that's a critical piece to making sure the event is successful. So I love having these guys coming back in. We're adding Dave Geiger to the mix, who is amazing. Yeah. Terry Nicholson's coming in too, who's done a lot of training with these guys. So it's pretty exciting. Plus we got my man Fitz, Larry Fitzgerald, which listen, DeAndre Hopkins got hurt and Larry Fitzgerald, we're all hoping he would step in. And my guess is he didn't step in because we're recording this before January, but Mike Tyson's coming. So I'm going to figure out, I'm going to ask, what do you think about doing this ish? I'm going to say, hey, I'll give somebody a refund if they just take one punch from Mike Tyson.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's see if that works out. So, hey, let's go ahead and jump into this too, just for the sake of time. You know, you've been on the podcast before. I don't exactly remember what episode that was on. So Ryan, you'll have to fill me in, then I'll reference it later. But Ish has been on before and told his kind of whole story, how he grew up. It's a really great, compelling story. It's a great story of perseverance. It's a great story of success.
Yep.
You know, wins, losses, the whole deal, all the shit you got to go through to be a really successful company. And but I want you to go ahead and just share with our listeners, you know, not only just, you know, who's Ishmael, but what is, you know, who is Next Gen? Because you look at it like Ish is Next Gen. Next Gen is Ish. Who is Next Gen?
Next Gen's like my fifth daughter. Like Next Gen's literally like if I could put it into like, if you guys follow me on Facebook on Service Avengers or just on my personal Facebook, you guys know if I'm not at work, I'm with my girls. If I'm not with my girls, or, right, my wife, my girls. If I'm not with them, I'm at work, right?
Yeah,
and there's nothing in between in there.
That's
right?
What we have. So, we have that in common.
Yeah. So like literally, Next Gen's probably like my fifth daughter. You know, she's 5 years old. She's about to turn six right now.
That's really good.
So yeah, dude, that's probably like the most, like the best, example I could give. It's like, you know, Next Gen it's going on a 6 year old company. You know, we had huge success for the first, 5 years, but you know, not all, it wasn't always rainbows and butterflies, right?
So, really? Wow.
Oh, fuck yeah. But yeah, dude, I'll give you a quick bio because I know some of you guys might already know.
Some. Yeah, sure.
For those of you who don't know, my name is Ishmael Valdez. I'm 34 years old. I own Next Gen Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing, SoCal. You know, we do 9 locations, Southern California. We're just closing out the year 2021 with a little bit under 60 mil.
Attaboy.
Budgets telling us, right? Budgets telling us, and our plan and our financial advisor are telling us that next year we're going to hit 94. I'm going to shoot for the 100, but you know, I'll be satisfied with 94. for going on our sixth year. So it's not bad. Yeah, dude, it's been an amazing journey. I've told you guys you know me personally. I've told you from the get go, I'm doing this for the industry. You know, I want to have a huge impact on it. I just don't, it's not just, you know, numbers in Next Gen and how much growth, how much faster. There's a whole different side of what we could do. And how we could all team up to change the way we're viewed as a whole.
Yeah, man. So it's and it, you know what I love, dude, is I've seen the progression of Ishmael over the last few years, and you have to remember I've been in this industry 14 years. So I've worked with a lot of
by the way.
Big thank you. A lot of big leaders. I've seen a lot of success stories. I've seen a lot of stories go south. I've pretty much seen it all.
Yep.
But what is hard is that most people suffer from being too prideful.
Yep.
And that can cripple your business. I think what happens actually, and I was having this conversation with Tom Howard. I can't remember what it was, like when he was out here for Tommy's thing. And it was about how I believe that there's a lot of strength in vulnerability.
Yep.
But getting to vulnerability is a bitch.
Oh yeah. And manning up to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And owning it and being like, especially when you are looked at it one certain way, you're like, ooh, God, I don't want to admit that because then how's that going to make me look? Actually, I think that makes you look stronger because as long as you recover and you use that for good, then you're solid. If you don't, then you failed.
I agree.
You know, and you learned and moved the business forward. And dude, I love to see it and to hear you say, because I, you know, one of my next question was going to be to you is what does Next Gen look like this year here in 2022? And you're saying you're shooting for 94 million. Dude, I don't doubt for a second that you hit that number.
We are. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, dude, I'm probably one of the most goal-driven people in the industry. Like, you know, I'm a man of my word. Whenever I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Yeah. Dude, I will outwork anybody in this whole industry just to make sure that we hit our goal. So our goal is 94. Our budget selling is 94, but you know, I'm going to shoot for that 100 just to say we hit it.
Well, it's a nice round number.
Yeah, there you go.
So three digits. For those listening, if you want to hear more of Ish's backstory, it's episode 41. So you can scroll back through that, which, I don't remember if this is episode 103, 104, somewhere around there.
It should be episode 23.
This will be 105. That's there what it is. Go. This is episode 105. So in order to, you know, to hit your goal of 94 million or 100 as your visionary, which I'm sure you'll probably get to, it requires obviously sales, recruiting. I mean, all this operational success, leadership, all these things. But what's always baffled me about you, because again, having been in the business so long, a lot of the biggest struggles I hear from a lot of growing companies and even not growing companies is this recruiting and being able to get, you know, skilled labor and things like that. But one thing that you have not seemed to struggle with is sales and recruiting. Bro, what are you doing over there in SoCal?
Dude, I think, you know, and there was a lot of things that helped us get there. It wasn't just myself, right? Because obviously, you know, I am the face of it.
Right.
But like the billboards had a lot to do with it. You know,
you have like 100,000.
But like, think about it, right? There was never a company in Southern California, or in Southern California, there was never a company that took that leap to be able to put that many billboards, right? Because everybody thinks, oh, billboards don't work. They're not going to lead generate. You're wasting your time. You know, those are for your corporate big box companies. And I took a gamble, right? And I was like, you know what? Let's put a 40, let's put a 50.
Yeah.
Like, let's make an impact on it. So that was huge though, because at the beginning I was doing it just for the branding and be able to lead generate, right? And see what we could do with it, because we're super strong on digital, as you know.
For sure.
But then there was a twist to it, because people started like texting me the billboards every freaking day, man.
Dude,
like,
I did it when I was there a couple of last month.
Yeah, like, but it was the weirdest thing, because some of these people I hadn't even talked to in, you know, months and years, right? And they're like, hey, I just saw a billboard. I think it said Next Gen on it. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's me, right? and then they started texting my technicians and my installers and my sales guys. And it was kind of like the snowball effect, right?
Yeah.
People started noticing it, right? And for you that you guys are in Southern California, like, dude, anybody in Southern California, there is no hour in the day that there's not traffic.
There. That's true.
Like, bro, it's fucking 1 a.m. There's traffic.
Like, that's why I don't live there.
Right. So like, so to me, cause I drive a lot, I have 9 branches. I try to hit them up once a week, maybe once every other week. I would always look at all these billboards. I'm like, dude, you know how many freaking people are sitting here just looking at them? Right. So that's when I pulled the trigger, and I just like, you know what, let's just see what it does. And the response from acquiring the internal clients is what drove me to do more and more of it. Right. Like, I'm not advising anybody out there to go out there and fucking put 20 billboards, right? Because you gotta have the cash flow, you gotta have the capital, you gotta, like, it's not like it's gonna make your phones light up right away.
It's gotta be consistent.
Exactly. And
it's not a quick fix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I used it more, and now, you know, everybody knows us for our billboards, for our unique logo, for our unique name. And now it's just, we've been doing it for 4 years already, marinating these billboards. So now it's just, you know, 2022 is gonna look a little bit different. We're gonna drop most of them.
Yeah.
I would say 95% of them we're going to drop. We're going to keep a couple of them here and there, and be able to profit off our branding now. So
yes, yeah. So stair step. So you invest,
yes, sir.
You know, invest, then you got that step. So, but you did more than that too, because you were involved with the angels, like you're involved in all this other stuff, bro. Like
that. So that was crazy too, right? So imagine you're a technician, you're a sales guy, you're an installer, you're driving to your job site, you're in between calls going back and forth, right? You're at home watching the Angels, because everybody watches the Angels or the Dodgers. We're about to land the Dodgers contract too. So imagine you're like, it starts repeating everywhere, right? And you're just like, dude, what the hell are these guys
doing? Everywhere.
I literally went to the fucking Angels game and took a piss, and their freaking logos on the bathrooms too, right? So like, for an air conditioning company, and that's what I'm saying, like the new way of contracting, the next generation way of contracting is that. It's like thinking outside the box, not doing the traditional direct mail piece, not doing your traditional, hey, call us for an $88 tune-up, shit like that. It's like thinking outside the box to becoming something bigger, right? And that was the big picture behind the billboard, behind the angels. It wasn't just to recruit the external clients, which are important, right? Because they pay the bills.
Yep.
But it was also to recruit the internal clients, which are more important, right? Because this is one thing that people don't realize is like they spend way too much money on external clients, right? Like they invest way too much money on acquiring new clients, on new clients itself, instead of putting that same energy or even that same spent, right? Or half of it or a quarter of it, just budget it out to get the internal clients. Because, and by internal clients, guys, I mean employees. So that's a huge fucking focus for me at NextGen. Like if you ever go to, like, I hope you go to our new facility, it's fucking state of the art Tesla model. So if you ever go, like 99% of my energy is spent on making sure my team need, like, they don't need anything. Like I'm always checking up on my sales guys. I'm always checking up on my technicians. I walk around, hey, like talking to the installers, talking to the in-house personnel. Like I make sure that, you know, like the first two questions I ask them every single time. If I don't know them, I introduce myself. Cause you know, there's times that I don't know them.
Sure.
The people now. So I introduce myself and I tell, if they've been here for a month, 2 months, 3 months, the first thing I ask them, hey, how's it going? Good, good. Hey, are you making money? Yep. How do you like it here? Nah, man, they treat us good. They're respectful. Everybody, the management team, executive team. Like those are the only two questions I care about, right? If they're treating you good and you're making money, then I did my job, right? So I focus a lot on making sure that my people are super happy and I invest in them a lot, right? So food trucks, taking them out to the Angels game. Our Christmas party was freaking insane. We gave out Cabo trips. We gave out freaking Cancun trips. We gave out like $25,000 in cash. We gave out fucking like 20 TVs, iPods, iPads, like anything that I wanted as a kid, anything that I wanted, period.
Yeah.
Or moms want, like my wife's always asking, hey, Victoria needs an iPad. Like I know there's other moms that need them too. Right. So let's give out iPads.
Yeah,
right?
It's great.
Like, So we focus a lot on making sure our people are happy, and because we have so much focus on the executive level and myself, that amplifies out, right? So it's like a magnet. It just starts fucking like recruiting all these people by itself, right? Like I shit you, like no bullshit. I walk into my office, any of my shops, there's always people applying there. Always, bro. Like it's insane to me. Like I'm like, what are you applying for? Oh, I'm a customer service rep. Like every single time I see, cause there's three red seats in every shop and people just sit there and you know, they're filling out paper. And I always ask them, hey, what are you applying for? Where'd you come from? What'd you do? Right? Like I try to investigate. And dude, it's insane. Every single freaking day, man, every day, no bullshit. There's somebody applying.
That's crazy. So, well, what's interesting is how you kind of, used it for, like I said, whether it be branding and in the hopes of doing branding is it leads people to your business to do, you know, to business with you because you are in business for profit. But that when you have so many of those, you're in everybody's face so much that it now has turned into also a recruiting tool. So you kind of get the best of both worlds, which is fantastic. And then anytime you do the, you know, like with the stuff with the angels, you get to incorporate that into your culture too, because then you have people you can send, like employees that you can send to games, which is great for culture. You know, like you've invited me to a few games. I've still never made one of those games, but you've invited me to.
You need
a few.
To.
I know, bro.
You need to. I got the best suite in the whole fucking stadium.
I've seen, people, Ringy or somebody will send me a video of him like shooting you guys in it too. It looks awesome. And I will make it. But I think it's been great how you've utilized both those two things in a really exceptional way. And so kudos to you for sticking your neck out and doing that.
Thank you.
I'll be really curious to see how now when you make the shift to this year, like when pulling down the billboard and stuff like that, on like what that does to bottom line stuff, because it's obviously going to have to take,
oh my God.
It should crush. So
I'm
excited for you. So, so speaking of which, like what is the, we all learn lessons, in different, different years, like 2019, you learned a big lesson, but let's talk about, 2021. So this past year, what was one of the biggest lessons that you learned in 2021?
Dude, biggest lesson. You know what? I kind of want to talk about 2019
you
too.
You can. Yeah, do that too.
You know, 2019 sure. was probably the hardest, one of the hardest times in my life because I was so ignorant to thinking that I knew everything, right? Mm-hmm. And I was, people that know me on social media, they know that I'm pretty loud and, pretty proud of what we've done here at NextGen Air, but they're also, yep. They might have the misconception of he's fucking cocky. He thinks he knows it all. And in 2019 was like the biggest fucking learning lesson of my life. you know, we're running a $30 million business. Nobody in the fucking whole company knows anything about financials. You know, we just know that there's money in the bank account.
Sell, 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 and it's just fucking selling, 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 selling.
Right. And there's money coming in, coming out. Right. So it wasn't ever like it got pretty scary at one point because I actually started learning the financing things, mm-hmm. and I actually, you know, I gave myself time to slow down. Tom Howard was a huge help. Ara, right? Yep. That's why I promote Service Titan so much because they were a huge help in my journey. Ara literally called me and said, "Hey, Ishmael," and this was in 2019. He calls me up and says, "Hey, you know, we need to switch your pricing. This, and that. You know, you've been riding on the old pricing, and I was kind of playing the system on the users, right? So yeah. I was literally paying what $5 million company was paying for a $30 million company, and they really didn't know, which wasn't either fault because I didn't know how to use it properly. We thought it was a fucking dispatching software. That's all it was, right?
Right.
So he makes the call. He says, "No, man, it does way more than that. You know, if I send my best guy out there, which is Tom, if I send my best guy out there to educate you on what you're doing wrong and how the system, the software could benefit right. you, you know, can we come up with a different agreement?" I'm like, yeah. I'm like, guess what? I'll give him 30 days to come over here and show me why we're doing it wrong. Right. Dude, we were fucking running a $30 million company on paper.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Paper invoices, paper contracts, like, it was the most insane thing to me, right? Because I was too busy trying to sell more, focusing on driving sales and recruiting sales, the sales guys and the technicians and installers, that I forgot one of the most important things is the financing, the financials, right?
It's so insane to you now. It wasn't then, right? Because, well, you only know what you know.
Yeah.
But that's a pivotal year because clearly, as a business scales, like you have got to have, I mean, can you even imagine now?
Bro, 2019, there was two pivotal points in my, actually three, the time my wife told me, "Hey, you're never going to work for anybody else. You got to do this for us. And you got to stop focusing on making other businesses grow." That was like 6 years ago. She sat me down and she said, cause I was about to fucking, they offered me $350,000 salary, $100,000 fucking sign-on bonus, right? To go and fix an operation. And my wife sat me down and she's like, "Fuck, no, you're not. No, I'm done with this shit. I got to hear your stories every day."
I'm done.
So I'm done with this. So she goes, "Hey, you're not going to work for anybody else. You got to, you know, we got to figure something out for us." Right. So that was one of the pivotal moments. Second pivotal moment was 2019, right? When I got educated on financials, man. I didn't know what gross profit was. I didn't know like what our overhead was. I thought fucking spend more marketing, make the phones ring, get more sales guys, sell more product, like the sales. But to my point, like we were growing so fast, bro. Like we were recruiting every fucking day. We were slamming, dude, imagine 3 years, you're doing $30 million, bro. Yeah. Like
it was,
and there's some crazy days that we were doing 400, 500,000 in one day. In year three, like nobody ever sat me down and said, "Hey, slow the hell down."
Yeah.
Right. Enjoy this moment. And that's when Ara kind of stepped in and said, "Hey, Ishmael, I'm going to send my best guy. I'm going to help you out." Right. And he sends Tom Howard. Dude, to this day, we were in my office, me and Tom, for 30 days, bro. Fucking Tyson was there. Tyson's my fucking dude. Tyson's probably top three most loved guy in the whole fucking industry. That's how much respect I have for that guy. So Tyson was there. Tom Howard was there. And a couple other guys were there. But I still remember to this day, man, we were sitting in my office. There's a fucking whiteboard there, right? And Tom just goes like, "Dude, what the fuck are you doing?" he's like, "Do you even know what you're doing?" And I'm like, "No, just we're selling a bunch of fucking air conditioning."
Yeah.
He's like, "Do you know what your average ticket is? What your turnover ratio is? What your average fucking..." Like he starts spitting, right? And fucking Tom got in the zone, bro, where it was like, holy shit, this guy's serious, right? So I put my phones down, right? And I was like, "Okay, cool. It's time to learn." Right. And he went and wrote on that fucking whiteboard. We were there for a couple hours before lunchtime. And he just starts fucking writing. "Hey, you like, dude, this is what overhead is. This is what your gross profit is. Like you need, this is your, like right now your net profit is this. Like, dude, you need to fucking make drastic changes today, right now, and figure out what the fuck we're going to do." Right. Because the way you're going, you're not going to last that long. Right. And I'm like, All right, hold the fuck up. Okay. I got an ace of spades in my motherfucking pocket, right? Goodman owes me $1 million. Fuck that. So I pull this ace of spades on him and he goes like, okay, good. So we start fucking getting to work. Bro, he literally fucking educated on me on overhead. Like, hey, these are the fucking people that you're paying no matter if there's business or no business, right? This is your expenses. This is what's going to come every fucking month, no matter what. If you sell one system or 1,000 systems, this is your set overhead. You need to beat it. Yeah. Right?
Bare minimum.
And that's the name of the game, right? Yeah. So he educates me on that and he's like, what is this person doing? What is this person? And we start going through the fucking org chart. All that, dude, that like, I think it was like 11 a.m., 12, by 1 p.m., I had let go of 15, 16 people.
Crazy.
In a snap of a finger, right? Dude. But and that day, right? That day was probably one of the worst. And I go back to it every day because it wasn't those people's fault, right? It was my fault that I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I'm an arrogant prick. I'm 30 years old. Yeah. I'm trying to figure shit out, right? And that day was a humbling experience to this day. I remember we were in a red light, me and Tom, and we're in my truck and we're going to go get something. And he looks at me and I was kind of frustrated. I was so mad. I could still remember. I was so mad at myself for not knowing. I'm like, how could I have been so fucking stupid this whole time? Right? Yeah. Like pumping my chest, saying, telling people, yeah, I grew the fucking fastest company in the world. Dude, that shit don't matter if it don't make profit.
That's right.
That shit don't matter if it don't make profit. Right. So he turns around and he goes like, hey man, are you okay? Like, you look like you're fucking getting ready to explode. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, well, I just fired at fucking 15 people. Right?
That hurts. Yeah
that sucks. Hurts. Right. Number one. Number two. No, I told him, no, man, I'm trying to speed up time. And I can still remember, I'm like, I'm trying to speed up time because I already know that I'm going to be okay. God's always going to take care of me. Right. Dude, we turned that whole ship around in 15 days, man.
Think about though, like, it's much easier to think about it today, by the way.
Yeah.
But what that day has done for your life. But think about it for more than this. You have a responsibility on two different fronts. Well, three.
Yep.
And your responsibility is one, that's you have a family that depends on you to make good decisions, right? And you've got your wife and your four girls, and that's one facet of it is you have a responsibility there to lead your family, to be there for your family, to make good decisions. But along with good decisions, you have to learn lessons along the way. And you did. You learned a valuable lesson that has since impacted you and your family and their experiences, the things that you have with them, and is one piece of it. The other is you have all these employees, man, that you're responsible for as well.
Yeah.
The things that we carry as leaders in our business, owners of our business, is that we take that on willingly because we're willing to fight for them. We're willing to provide for them, but our decisions have impact.
Oh yeah.
And when you gotta let 15 people go, that's 15 lives you change to the negative.
Oh yeah.
You know, in that moment. Yeah. And it was a negative for your life in that moment,
oh, yeah.
But you didn't know at that moment how big the positive was going to be from that.
Oh yeah.
So the other aspect of this is that you had said, you know, you mentioned that God, you're trying to move things forward faster. Like God's timing is God's timing, bro, not yours. So you had to go through that.
You got to
go through it to get to it. And so you actually have this gift that was given to you to serve in the way of HVAC and plumbing.
Yep.
And all these people that come along with it. And then with that, it provides resources to continue to give. So, I'm all about giving back and doing that type of stuff. So you have this great responsibility and it could have went one way or the other in that moment. And you chose the right direction. And that was to let go of your pride, be vulnerable and be like, oh shit. And then fix it.
Dude, I fucked up. And to this day, I'll tell you right now, like that feeling that I had when I had to let go of those people, when I realized how stupid I was at the time and how ignorant, how fucking cocky I was. I was everything that everybody thinks I was at that time.
Yeah.
That moment, it still lives with me. Like dude, to this day, I'm chasing that away.
Yeah.
And that's why I grind so hard.
Yeah.
That's why we're where we're at right now. Right. Because I made those executive decisions. Tom helped me a lot. Ara helped me a lot. Those guys helped me a lot. Clear my mind. And we made those decisions. But dude, to this day, I'm telling you, and I don't think I'll ever let go of them that moment. There's a bunch of moments in my life that I'll never let go. My pops passing away, one of them. The birth of Andrea. Andrea, when I fucking first saw Andrea, the whole world stopped.
Yeah.
And then that was just as critical. It was.
Which you get into actually pretty good in episode 41. So if you want to go back and reference it, it was a great part of the podcast. And you're talking about that.
Yeah, man.
And your brother.
Oh yeah. And so all those pivotal moments, like, dude, it made me humble myself to now, instead of pumping my chest online and saying, look at what I'm doing. It's like, hey guys, it's possible.
Yeah.
Look at, we just spent $510,000 day in the shoulder season, like $510,000 in one day in the shoulder season. Like, I'm not doing it to show off. I'm doing it to tell people, hey, it's possible.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Like, dude, it's not about me anymore. Right. That day taught me that it's not about me. And that day my message changed to let me show show all these fuckers what I could do. That day changed to, hey, let me go out there and let me tell my story. Number one. Number two, let me show these guys, right? Let me show people the industry and all the fucking amazing opportunities
and possibilities.
Yep. And possibilities.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So I love that. And so, you know, having been in this long for me too, I try to use this particular platform to exploit all the great stuff that comes from being in this industry. So, you know, like bringing on.
And you're doing amazing, by the way.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. It's just again, I look at it as it's another responsibility I've got.
Yep.
But I have, you know, we're grateful that I have, all of our listeners, and we have a large volume of listeners. And I try to use it as a tool to say, how else can I help try and bring people who might not be interested at all into the industry? Well, guess what? People like cars, if they like money, whatever. Yep. Those things came from working in the industry. Let's show it.
Yeah, buddy.
I mean, there's so much of it.
Let's show that shit. Yeah.
There's so much of it, because if that's what at least pulls the interest in.
Well, you got to understand, look, Chris, this is how I view it, right? So like the way you communicate to the next generation, like the way you communicate back then to our parents was, hey, the American dream. You can buy a house with us. You can, you're going to make a decent living. Like, you know how you communicate to the next generation of labor through social media is being flashy, showing the Rollies, showing the Lambos, showing the Bentleys, right? Like showing that and showing the motherfucking shoes, the Reeboks, right?
Reebok
like,
pumps.
Like showing those kind of things is how you communicate to the next generation. Yeah. Because in their eyes, you're showing them, right? You're showing them like,
possibility.
Holy shit, that guy's rocking a fucking $50,000 watch and he's a plumber? Yeah. Or, hey, that guy's got a $220,000 Porsche. He does air conditioning. What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah. That's what we're trying to expose. Like, that's the point I was getting at with that is I'm trying to just use whatever I can, whatever influence I have, because it's not like all the high schools and stuff are helping us by re-implementing those things, the trades back into the school like that. It's bullshit. So,
yeah.
But you said this a few times and I love it because I know it's where the name Next Gen came from. And speaking of Next Gen, let's talk about what you and I've talked, you and I've kind of talked about the whole Tesla model stuff. And,
yes, sir.
And you mentioned your new facility earlier.
Yes, sir.
So let's get into that, man. Like, explain to our listeners, man, what does this Tesla model we're talking about mean?
Bro. So think about it, right? Like, we've all been in the industry. We all know the big players. But nobody's really like hammered down. Right now what we're seeing in the industry right now, like, you know, for the last 20 years, everybody's been running on gas, right? 87 and they've been running and they've been trying to do as much as they can. They've been running at 10 gallons per minute, at 10 gallons per whatever.
Yeah.
Right. So they've been running at as best as they can. Right. The best that we have right now is the hybrid model. The hybrid model is gas and electricity, right? Why? and what it means is it's labor and technology, and we're mixing it right now, right? But we're not really taking advantage of the technology, and that's where the Tesla model comes in. The technology is what drives the electricity into the Tesla, right? So the only difference between a regular car and a Tesla, right, there's many differences, but the main difference is the source of power. The source of power in a regular car is a gas, right? The Tesla runs on electricity.
Right.
The new Tesla model that I'm trying to present to the world and to people is all electric. It's not labor. It's not labor based, right? It's more technology based, right? Like, there shouldn't be, this is what the Tesla model is. There shouldn't be five fucking accounting people in the department on a $100 million business. There shouldn't be 20 fucking people spitting POs and chasing sheets and allocating from a PO all the way to QuickBooks or Intech, whatever you, right? So there shouldn't be that much labor in-house support. There shouldn't be, 20 people doing commissions, three people doing like all that. They shouldn't be that. Like, that's what That's what the old way of contracting was. And the old way of contracting tells us that, like, if you do this, you get 20% net profit. And everybody's okay with net profit, 20% net profit. Like the Tesla model, and I'm naming it, is it's T30. It's getting to the 30% net profit. And but not price gouging, not increasing, you know, getting $25,000 average ticket, not that. It's taking advantage of the technology that we have right now and that's about to come to be able to do the T30, which is the Tesla model with 30 net profit, right? Because it's okay for them to do 20% net profit with the tools that my dad had, right? Like it's okay for a 20-year-old business, 15-year-old business to do 15-20% profit with the tools that they have. Like it's not okay for the next generation of contractors to come in and be okay with 20%, right? Like we got to think outside the box and be able to profit more, right? Because essentially profit brings comfort and comfort, like it brings profit brings comfort into your business, right? And that's what the Tesla model is about. It's about changing the fuel source from labor to technology. And that's what we're implementing at Nexion. It's stop hiring so many freaking people to do the tests that we can, you know, we can hire some programmers to program the way we do purchasing, the way we do accounting, the way we do commissions. Like I'll tell you a perfect example of the Tesla model. Before there was three people doing commissions at Nexion for the technicians and sales guys, right? Now we got it down to one and it's a full-time one, right? Like what the Tesla model is going to bring is that we're going to automate commissions and payroll and everything. And it shouldn't take more than 1 hour. And that 1 hour is just verification of pay. Because we're automating anything. As soon as the project manager sells, it spits out a report and it says, hey, you know, you sold it for 20,000, book price was 22,000, you discounted 10%, da, 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 da. This is your pay sign off. It hits our accounting team. Our accounting team approves or disapproves. Boom. And this is in a matter of seconds, by the way. Approves it, goes to Heartland and payroll makes the cut for it.
Boom.
And that's what the Tesla model is about. It's getting faster than what we're used to. It's getting data faster than what we're used to and making those quick changes, quick pivots to getting to the T30 model, which is the 30% net profit.
And it makes it extremely scalable.
Oh yeah, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the efficiency means you're earning the points on the back end without increasing the price. Yeah. Which is fantastic. So, because then it's no, like you said, the gouging, it's not like, it's not the customer paying the price for it. It's actually just becoming more efficient.
Way hyper efficient. It's the Tesla model is being hyper efficient. And I know I sound crazy and I know I sound dumb to some people about it because they haven't seen it. Like I'm building it for you guys in Anaheim right now. The new model that I have is 48,000 square feet building. We're going to be so fucking automated, so freaking hyper efficient where we don't need, you know, 150 people in-house support to run $100 million company. You know, we might need 20.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
So is that a big driver for you right now? Like you're chasing like, okay. Cause you know, like I was telling you right before you came in, I had a leadership, a leadership meeting with my entire leadership team. And we talk about kind of Q1 big rocks. Like these are our big things. We got to get out of the way. We have to accomplish, like no questions asked. And so mine changed quarterly. That's a big rock. That's like going to last you all year long. But what's cool about that is that you're chasing it so hard because of what happens on the back end of this thing. And when you said the T30 model gets it to the 30, what that does is it creates more opportunity.
Oh yeah.
And that kind of falls in line with you and the, hey man, we're buying iPads. We're doing all this giving back. You're growing your resources. You're growing the company to have more resources to continue to spread good shit.
Giving them better tools. That's all it is. Giving our people better tools so they can be better efficient so that the company becomes more efficient and provides more profit for it. It's not about price gouging.
It's not on the back of the customer. That's right, exactly. Man. That's what I love about it. Yeah. That's where I thought I was like, cause I was going to ask, where is it coming from? No.
It's in hyper efficiency, decreasing the overhead and making sure that you use every sector of the technology that we have now. And the one that's coming, right, to be able to do that model. And trust me, that model, and the only reason, and it'll be quick, Chris, the only reason why I'm doing it is because I want to prove that there's a different way of doing contracting. But I've talked to, you know, everybody in the game, Kenny, Geiger, everybody, right? And everybody, what you understand, what I understand from those legends in the game is that, like, dude, profit is everything.
Oh yeah.
Stop talking revenue.
Yep.
Like 100 mil is cool, but if you're going to do, you know, 5% profit, might as well go back to 10 mil. I mean, go back to 25 mil and do 20% profit. Yeah. Same shit.
Dude, you know what this, well, you know, you wouldn't know this. I'll tell you right now. That's actually really unique. So when we run this business, we don't even look at gross revenue.
Is there?
We don't even, even though it's on the peanut, we don't even look at gross revenue. We just look at what's the company making. And let me tell you, first and foremost, are we making sure that we're paying our employees extremely well, because we require so much from them to give back to our customers.
Hell yeah.
And I'm willing to pay a premium to make sure our customers get everything that we promise and then some. So I look at retention.
Yep.
You know, because that's clearly a great indicator of how are we performing for our customers, and also how's it performing for my employees.
Your internal.
Do they want to stay?
Yeah.
Are we taking good care of them? I mean, at our Christmas party, we had a little guy by the name of Flo Rida.
Dude, come. I saw the video. Insane.
So did you know this? I'll tell you what. Everybody's like, how the hell did you pull it off? So back in my IndyCar racing days, my sponsor was 50 Cent. He owned SK Energy Shots, Street King Energy Shots back then. So I had made some connections along the way. And then of course, I've done a lot of charity stuff with Coach Arians and also Larry Fitzgerald. And so it just so happened that I was able to work with one of their agents to kind of get Flo Rida knocked out.
Pretty badass. That shit was badass.
And to watch my employees' faces during that whole thing, dude, it's worth every penny.
Dude, they were up there dancing.
Did you see it?
Bro, so they were up there dancing. They were up there like spitting. In,
dude,
right?
it was such a good time.
It was sick. Congrats, man.
And that's like, thank you. For me, it's as rewarding to give that experience. So, hey, I want to go ahead and segue too, because we're about 40 minutes into this thing. And so we're talking about technology, and I know you love that type of stuff and you're into it. And it's crazy to see how you went from writing shit on paper to now into this whole technology movement. And you created this little company called DataCube. And I want to talk about that because, as you know, man, I love numbers too. I love data. I love seeing all this shit. I mean, it's something that I've lived for the last 14 years of my life. And it's cool to kind of see how it's evolved. So I want you to share what, you know, what is like with all of our listeners, cause I'm assuming that they have, you know, some know who it is, some don't.
Yep.
What is DataCube, man? Like now that you're like down the road here, like what is DataCube? Or, hey, and what is the end result of DataCube for you, for not for the customer, for you?
So DataCube came about in 2019 as an idea. And Tom Howard had a lot to do with it. It was because people like Tom Howard, like, you know, like Ken Goodrich, all those people went to my shop and they asked me questions about, hey, what's your average ticket? Hey, what's your close percentage? Hey, what's your average service ticket? Hey, how much marketing spend? Like all those questions that are super important to the business. And I didn't have a fucking clue.
Yeah, that sucks. That's a sucky feeling.
So the madman that I am, I went and started a software company with it because I was so fucking tired of people asking me questions about the business that I didn't know about, right? So I educated myself on it. And then we started building these dashboards. And at first it was just going to be for me. It wasn't going to be for the public. It was just, you know, I want to put up these competitive dashboards. I want to put live KPIs. Like, why are we waiting for people to go up to a whiteboard and erase the KPIs and put new ones? And by the time they erased it, somebody else sold and it changed the whole KPI. Like, I was so tired of that. And everybody in the industry has that freaking board in their training room with a bunch of lines and their numbers of technicians and all the key metrics that they're doing, right? So I was so tired of that I was like, dude, there has to be a better way to do this shit. Like, we have to be able to like obtain the data live instead of just waiting for somebody to go up to the whiteboard or at the end of the week, end of the month, knowing how the performance inside the company went. So that's where DataCube came about. So it was more of frustration of not knowing my numbers and then also wanting to know my numbers. So it was a mixture of both and putting them together of hey, I want to know exactly as soon as a fucking sales guy sells, it triggers all their KPIs and it tells me how their batting average is, right? Like it tells me average discount, average ticket, average close percentage, how many opportunity calls they have, how many turnovers where they have, how much IQ they sold. Like all those key things that make the whole freaking business profitable. Instead of waiting out a week or a month to know that, I wanted to know that live. And that's what DataCube is. It's a live KPI software that as soon as a project manager sells, a technician sells, they sell an IQ, they sell ductwork, they sell whatever it is, you look at a screen and it triggers all the numbers, right? And it changes their percentages. So we put it and we display, and this is part of the T30 model that we're doing, is the Tesla model is is being built based on live information that's triggering all these points inside the software, right? To be able to make educated decisions. If you have a technician that's running, you know, 3-4 calls and they got zero tickets, because we're tracking zero tickets, and one of the biggest KPIs that I've been tracking is like, hey, if he went up to bat 3 times and he fucking stroke out 3 times, why are you putting him in the lineup again? Why are you putting him up in the lineup? And that's what everybody does. You know why? Because that's the only technician I have. And he's going through a rough period in his time. There's excuses for that. Like, we need to be able, that it's not the customer's fault that the technician has some internal problems, right, or they don't know something, or we don't know the weakness in there, right? Because nobody's tracking it. That's what Data Cube's telling us. Hey, this guy is really fucking good at turning calls over. This guy sucks. Guess what you're going to do? Put them together. Right.
Well, and this also adds, what's cool is it gives a business owner another layer of accountability,
of course,
to educate that guy who can't sell, make it better.
Of course. And it's live information. So guess what? If this guy's selling air scrubbers all day long and UV lights all day long, and this guy isn't, you put them together and find out let them find out, instead of bringing them into a classroom like everybody does and putting them behind a board and saying, hey, this is how you sell an IQ. No. They don't. The next generation wants to be shown. Okay, this is this is a huge nugget that I'm going to tell you. The next generation of technicians, sales guys, installers, CSRs, all that, they want to be shown how it's done. They don't want to be told. They don't want to be behind a fucking classroom. They don't want to be, you know, here, read this book or read this pamphlet on air scrubbers and go figure it out. Hands on, bro.
Yeah. And I would even say that it's being able to not just to like watch a video or something on it. It's like, you want to be with a human being who you can ask questions along the way too.
And that's what the software is about, is knowing the weaknesses inside the business and knowing, hey, this is where we're messing up and working on that aspect, instead of like, you don't know what the hell's going on inside the business. Cause first of all, you're paying one or two people for reporting.
Yep.
Right. This fucking saves you those two people. Put them to answer the phones.
I mean, so I love data analysis positions, by the way, because you learn so much from data and pattern recognition and things like that. And because it's the same industry over and over again, it's easy to recognize patterns based on temperatures and which region, all this other shit. But do you, let our listeners know, where does this, like, where is it pulling that information from?
From the CRM. From service time, from House Call Pro, from whoever you get, from Field Edge, from all those guys. So it pulls the data from it and it displays it. So Data Cube's doing two things. Number one, it's educating you on your weak side, right? And giving you that information live. But number two, it's making a competitive atmosphere inside your company. Dude, if you walk into the Tesla Model Next Gen today, in a couple of weeks when it's done, like, there's TVs everywhere in the training room, in the hallways, and by the VMIs, by the CSR room, by the everywhere. You know why? Because people are fucking competitive. And you guys got to learn that about this generation.
You gamified it, yeah.
Of course. People are competitive. My sales guys do not want to be number one, number two, number three, number four. They want to be number one. Mm-hmm. The technicians don't want to be. The installers, we came up with a dashboard called the WAR dashboard, warranty and revenue. We're tracking warranties and revenue for the installers. And guess what? We display it on the VMIs or by the warehouse where they're picking up their material and dropping off their equipment or picking up equipment. And guess what they do? They all get in a little circle behind the TV and they're like, oh shoot, look, I'm number two, I'm number three. Fuck that shit. Hey, give me more. That's what it does. So we took the industry, we gamified it, and we gave it a twist of, hey, if whoever does the most revenue, whoever does the least warranty calls, whoever has the highest average ticket, we put a bounty on them. We put $1,000 gift card, $1,000 check, a sweet night at the Angels game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And guess what you have now? You have 100, 200 people chasing that goal.
We got a competition.
Of course. Let's go. Guess what it does? It creates profit.
Yeah, it drives revenue.
Of course. Yep. That's part of the Tesla model that we're building.
Dude, so
it's intense, right?
I love it because I've kind of watched it morph into, like, well, I mean, and even you and I are going to go back through it too, just so I can really understand, because I think that it's important to know that if you don't have enough people, or you complain about not having enough bandwidth to track this stuff, this is doing that for you.
Of course, you don't need people.
And it's doing it real time. But it adds this extra layer of accountability that you can now manage to.
Of course.
So it's extremely important. And obviously too, it's going to, like you said, it's going to drive revenue. The gamification piece of it's what's so cool too, because naturally anybody that's in that position, or in like some sort of a sales role, 9 times out of 10 has this competitive nature to want to win. Like
if they're project managers, if they're technicians, if they're performance-based people, if they're not competitive, they're in the wrong seat.
Yeah.
People that are performance-based have to be competitive to be able to keep up. Trust me, I'm in a competition with everybody else.
Yeah.
Right? That's the way we built it into the model.
So if I'm using DataCube, whatever company, can I choose my own, like, but I'm sure you have probably some like generic KPIs you have in place that are probably industry standards.
Yep.
But can they create their own
KPIs? You can track whatever you want. So we give you what the Tesla model gives you is, hey, this is what we're tracking at NextGen, or this is what we're tracking standard wise in the industry. Hey, if you want to know how many members what's your average percentage of memberships? What's your average ticket on your members only and not your opportunity calls or not your tune-up calls, whatever it is that you want to track, DataCube does it for you. And it does it in a way where it's actually looks cool, number one, and it creates a competition, number two.
Got it. So now let's go to the marketing side of it to make sure, because obviously you have a monster marketing expense. A lot of companies have marketing. So how does it track that? Like you can give me the best answer you have. Like I'll be able to connect the dots on anything too. Yeah. But like, it's just so our listeners have an idea, can comprehend like, well, how is this tracking my marketing to give me that result?
Of course. And for that, dude, I'm telling you, I'm not like the most, you know, technical guy in the world.
I'll help connect the dots.
So like DataCube AI explains it a lot, but what we do is we track based on phone numbers, based on websites, based on different sources that we're spending on, like Google ads on different keywords on Yelp or whether it's organic or paid, right? Like we're tracking revenue and every day we're getting closer to making it so freaking tight where you're actually going to have a return on investment based on your spend, sure. Right? It gives you your average ticket per revenue source and where the T30 model ties all in, where all these dashboards tie in and make it a smart dashboard where, hey, this technician does very well with this Yelp source in this city. And it actually auto dispatches it based on marketing source and profitability. That's where the T model comes in effect, right? And that's what I'm most excited about because that's what we're working on right now. Because now you don't have to fucking guess, hey, where's John? Where's Brian at? Or should we send Brian to this call? No, the cube's gonna tell you, hey, this technician is best for this marketing source in this region, and he can get there in 40 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is. And this is the most profitable technician, sales guy, install, whatever it is. This is the most profitable guy you want to send to this call based on marketing source because we're human. The human is a creature of habit and there's certain people that go to Yelp, certain people that go to Google, certain people that go to a newspaper, certain people that go to a radio station, right? And we got to track where those people come from and who we could team them up with that best fit their personality because people buy from people.
Yeah, man. So first off, holy shit. That was crazy. A microphone's smoking over there. So what's crazy about all this is, I know you know this about me, is from the very beginning, when I very, very first started this company, like my wife, which is outside the studio here dancing, trying to distract me. it was just her and I, and we would run these internet marketing campaigns, pay-per-click advertising, SEO, and we would put call tracking numbers on them and then listen to every single phone call that comes through those lines to be able to then put in an Excel spreadsheet, a little shorthand on the date, time, who the caller was, what they call about, who answered the phone for that company. Did they book the call? I'm talking manually.
Yeah.
We still do it like that today. I have a team of like 70 people on our call listing and reporting team that does that shit manually.
Oh yeah.
But it's only because there's not been an option for me to do any different that was accurate.
Yep.
And it's labor intensive, obviously. That's a shitload of people. And like, there's some months where we're listening to 800, 900,000 minutes a month.
Dude,
it's insane.
Mad props, by the way. Mad props to your customers.
Sir. It's insane that there's those, but it's a manual process where human beings. So what's
got to automate that?
I'm saying, like, this is where it's like, it's so much more. That's just my end.
Of course.
This is connecting with operations.
Oh yeah,
and finances
and financing
and all that shit.
And that's the T model. It's making sure that everybody right now nobody's communicating. Right, the marketing source tells you what kind of client. The technician will tell you what kind of profitability that client will get out of it, and then the financing will make sure we verify it.
Perfect circle, dude. Fuck yeah, that's awesome. So, first off, dude, nice work, man. Nice work. Congrats, bro. Like,
thank you.
I'm excited to see.
Dude, congrats to you, bro. Nobody gives you enough fucking props for all the shit that you do here, for all the shit that you do for the industry, for sitting across a fucking young punk trying to change the industry, right? Like, you, dude, you probably one of the most influential dudes in the game. Wow. And mad props to you because you give people like myself a voice, not just, you know, the older legends that in the game. Like, we get to hear the Jordan Beebe's, we get to hear the Ishmaels, the like Lewis and all those guys, right? So mad props to you, dude. You're freaking killing
dude,
it.
Dude, that means so much. I appreciate you very much for saying that. And I thank you because like I don't look at it quite like that.
Yeah, I know. From afar, my respects to you, man.
But I certainly need to make sure I show some gratitude. So thank you. I appreciate that very much for saying that. I want to finish with this, bro.
Yep.
I want to finish with this because at the end of the day, you got a legacy you want to leave.
Yep.
And I am curious to know what that legacy is. What is Ishmael Valdez's legacy going to be?
There's two things that I'm like really, really focused on for my life, personal life, right? Number one, I want to make sure that my daughter, my wife, all my daughters and my wife and no matter what, that what, like when I pass away, when I leave this world, that they are super proud of me for every aspect of my life, because everything that I do, including action, including the grind, waking up every day, including everything revolves around my four girls and my wife.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the number one legacy I got on a personal base. I got to make sure that they're super proud of dad. Right. And super proud of who I am, who I became, because dude, I'll tell you right now, I'm probably the most imperfect person in the world. And I made a ton of mistakes, but luckily, you know, God's helped me through them.
Yep.
And the second one, and the reason why I'm here to meet Grant Cardone, to meet, to do all these interviews and there's a message that I want to tell the people. There's a message that God's given me, and God put me in this world to make sure that we let people know that there's fucking money in the industry. The trades is where you want to be. Like, I remember being 18 years old, coming out of high school, not knowing what the fuck I was going to do. I was definitely not going to go to college because I couldn't afford it. Right. My dad, we were fucking broke. Right. So we couldn't afford to go to college. So it was either go get a job, but where?
Yeah.
And that's the fucking impact that I want to have. I want to make sure that every fucking 17, 18, 19 year old coming out of high school, everybody knows that you don't have to go and be a ball player. You don't have to go to college and be a lawyer. You don't have to go and try to reinvent Facebook. Like, bro, come and be a plumber. There's fucking plumbers in my company right now, NextGen, making $250,000, $300,000 a year. There's project managers making $400,000-$500,000 a year. There's installers making $150,000-$200,000 a year. And that's the message that I want to give everybody. I want to tell everybody there's fucking money here. Come and grab it, man. But I'm telling you, it's hard work. So like, dude, just being able to diversify the fucking industry. Imagine if people actually wanted to work here at the industry. Imagine if people actually wanted to.
Dude.
Like, imagine the flood of people we would have. Imagine like, instead of like, we're grabbing people to come and work for us. Imagine if they inundated every single industry because they wanted to be plumber. Imagine the amount of untapped talent that's out there. And that's my mission in life, to make sure everybody knows. We gotta fucking make sure everybody knows that there's money in the industry. Come and join us. We're going to diversify this shit and we're going to take over.
Dude, that was straight fire. That was a fantastic way to end. I know that big fat X right smack.
Dude, that's my message, baby.
Gen. Hey, man, I appreciate you so much. Like, we're going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. I'm grateful that we made time. I know you're here to go see and hang with Grant Cardone, do that whole thing. And you actually are going to be running late to his place. So,
dude, he can wait.
No, but the impact that this particular podcast will have on a lot of lives, bro.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's about. So I appreciate you. I appreciate our friendship, dude. It's exciting to watch you you continue to grow. I can't wait to see what you do with things. You know, like I said, even with you and I having Data Cube conversations and like potential partnership type stuff, it's because I respect that piece of the business so much and I understand it. And if I don't do it and I see something that's better and it helps my customers, I'm in.
Of course.
All day long. So I appreciate you being on here, bro.
Thanks, guys.
I'm going to go ahead and finish off with, as we normally do with a review. And this one is from, I should have read this ahead of time, from Big Nasty 909.
What the fuck?
Well, big nasty 909. Is there a 909 area code somewhere? I don't know where that is, but anyway, but great podcast. I picked up tons of informative information, tips and tricks, which I will, you'll never hear me say because I say knowledge and wisdom. Thank you, Michael E. Gerber. Informative information, tips and tricks from this podcast. And I'm very grateful that you guys take the time out of your day to gather the information and publish it for the world to see, and don't hold back any secrets. We're all here to pick each other up. Appreciate you. That's 100. Big Nasty 909. We appreciate you, whoever the hell that is. If you're listening to this again, reach out to me on Facebook and let me know who that is. And I need to understand where that name came from. I got to put two and two together. Ish, my man, I appreciate you as always.
Thank you. Thank you.
Listeners, it's 2022. Take this information and go crush your goals. Let's get it.
Yes, sir.
Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review, and be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you. Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.